Natasha, we have so much to get into today. So much!
So much. I feel like we haven't sat down, just the two of us, and just like had a nice, open, honest, bare our souls, bare all of our good and bad in a while.
No, it's been a couple weeks. Yeah, because we had Danielle, you know, formerly known as Danny Starr. And then we had Jill Teets, our sober network friend. Yeah, so it has felt like, and then wait, before that, did we do a personal show or did we have David Rubin on? Has it been 3 weeks since we've talked personal?
Oh my gosh, no, I think we had David on. Not that, I mean, my memory is usually only like a 6 to 9 day capacity. I don't really remember anything beyond that, but that sounds about right.
Actually, that's amazing that you have that capacity. I have to actually think about what I ate for breakfast yesterday. I have to like sit and think for a minute, like what did I eat? I have to go through.
It is incredible how much your brain just melts as a mom. It's just done.
It's total toast. Like, people aren't kidding. Your child does take your brain capacity when they're developing. It's totally true.
100%. And you want another one. Get ready for more.
Oh, I know. I can't wait. Okay. Well, tell me where.
Which we have to catch up on all of that. I want to know everything about your uterus, your ovaries, and everything else in between.
So where should we start? Should we just call today's episode? You know, I loved, and everybody loved the one when we talked about managing disappointment and expectations. And this one is about spousal guilt and about, you know what this one's about, Natasha? I need your help with this. Is everybody has an opinion. Everybody has advice for you. How do you find, how do you find the voice that you should listen to? That's what I need help with.
Oh,
today.
I like that. What's my voice, Sarah? That's the one you should listen to.
And Natasha's like, and it's my voice.
No, I love it. Let's do it.
Well, okay, I'll get you up to speed. So last week, you know, on the podcast, I threw out that I had gotten this phone call. I want to know from people if I should fire my IVF doctor, which it's like, it seems like it's an overwhelming yes, right? Okay, I, you know, I've only lived here in LA a year, and I would say the hardest thing I've found in the past year in Los Angeles is finding good healthcare. Like, because
really? That's surprising.
And I have like good insurance. I don't know if it's me, if I'm looking in the wrong places, if I'm you know, I don't know what it is, but I tend to end up calling these doctors and they don't take my insurance. They're all concierge.
Oh, that makes sense. It's all like boutique doctors because that's so California. That's
very
so
LA.
DC too, to be honest, but that's very LA.
And it was happening in Arlington, Virginia when I was leaving. Like we were getting letters from a lot of our doctors going, hey, we're becoming a concierge medicine doctor. You know, if you would like to join for $1,500 a year or $2,000 a year, you can. Here's the problem. In Los Angeles, your general practitioner doctor wants you to join for $10,000 a year.
What?
Yes. I'm not kidding.
Now, wait. So does that include all of your visits in between or are those on top of that?
No, it includes all your visits. All your medical like tests are covered by your insurance, like if you need blood work, if you need an ultrasound, if all that stuff. But you basically pay 10 grand to be able to call and text them and get an appointment anytime you want, right? I don't have health issues like that, thank God. So it's like, no, I'm not going to spend 10 grand. And so, you know, okay, this is like a shameless plug, but obviously ZocDoc sponsors my show. They like eliminate all this. So I've been using ZocDoc to find like doctors. But it's still really hard because You get good recommendations, but you like to get a referral, right? Okay, so I got this referral to this IVF doctor. And when I first met him, I was like, okay, you know, I mean, he's very soft-spoken, very nice, like very nice. I don't want to say like he's not nice. But I think the overall theme of their entire clinic is you are paying out of pocket. Like they want people that have endless money to throw at IVF. And I think that's fucking crazy. Like, I just don't think that you should open your I know a lot of people listening to this have to do that to have a baby. Having a baby, as you know, is like it's when you want it, you will do anything. You'll move mountains. You'll spend $100,000. I might spend $100,000. I don't know. I'm hoping not. But I did IUI in January. It did not work. And after the IUI, I messaged them. You know, you have a message portal, right, to the nurse. And mm-hmm. I was like, hey, it didn't work. You know, can you let me know next steps? And she's and like, I didn't really hear back. So I hit them up again, like 2 days later. I was just like, hey, just, you know, it obviously didn't work. I wanted to know what to do. And she's like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, just call us the next, the first day of your next period. Like, okay. So I was like, well, that's a little, like, you know, not a, hey, sorry, it didn't work. That's a bummer. Like, do you, you know, if
right,
you have any questions.
Here's maybe our next steps that might be coming, anything.
And, you know, my OBGYN had suggested, like, did they do the following, you know, did they do a hormone panel? Did they do this? So I wrote her back. I said, did you guys do, like, these hormone tests? Like, how was everything? My blood work looking? She was like, yeah. And she said, oh, you know, the office manager will call you or whatever to schedule an appointment. So the office manager left me a message and she said, okay, if you'd like a follow-up appointment with any further questions about your blood work or next steps, I'll make an appointment with the doctor and that'll be $330 for a 20-minute consultation. So just let us
what?
So call us back and let us know. Thank you. Okay, thank you. So I was just like, are you fucking kidding? Like we've spent over $4,000 already out of pocket for all the tests.
That
in,
is
in IUI.
Insane that a doctor would not, forget the office manager. The doctor should be giving you a follow-up phone call. That's not something extra you pay for. And also any test you have done, you own that material. If you have blood work done, if you have x-rays done, anything like that, that's your property.
Which I
you don't
do
have to make an appointment to get it.
I do have, I just don't know how to interpret it. You know what I mean? Like I
well,
can
sure.
Google what I think it means, but you know, I wanted
that's
to talk
insane
to you
that you, no, my friend, you do not have to pay for a follow-up consultation for them to interpret tests that they charged you for last time.
So do you know to this day, that was 3 weeks ago. I have not heard, I've never heard, they've never even called me back. I've never called them. They've never called me. Never messaged
Shady.
Me on the portal. Nothing. I've never heard a peep ever again.
Have you mentioned who they are? Are you going to blast them?
Well, I was going to blast them, but one of our listeners actually DM'd me and she said, before you blast them, you need to look through your contract paper that you signed with them because some of these IVF doctors are now having you basically sign a non-disclosure agreement that you will not trash them because
what?
It's science, because it's science and everybody's body is so different and they can never promise you results. So they said, you need to check your paper, which I have not done, so I don't know.
I mean, so said, don't. What, you can't even leave a Yelp review on them?
Oh, you that's must be able. I'm sure you can. Like, I'm sure you can leave a Yelp review, I would think.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, honestly, I never read the paperwork either. Whenever you go to a new doctor appointment, it's 10,000 forms, and I have this thing where I get really competitive, and I always want to get the forms done faster than anybody. It's a, I don't know. Like, you know, they want you to show up 15 minutes early to do forms. I never do. I show up like right at my appointment time and I'm just like crank it all out super fast. It's, I don't know. It's a personal competition for me. But all that to say, I don't read shit. So man, there may be sneaky non-disclosure agreements in our
I want to do
medical
that
forms
before. And the other thing I do want to do, I always believe in
well,
this.
Well, I could blast them for you. That wouldn't count.
Oh, there you go. But I do want to give them the courtesy. I want to call the office manager back and say, look, I don't know if this was your intention, but this feels very predatory. After $4,000, I mean, it does.
You're going to use the word predatory.
Well, that's
it,
a little
it definitely
maybe
seems
extreme.
Like they're taking advantage.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we just gave you a mortgage payment, and you're telling me the doctor doesn't have 15 minutes for free? To just
say,
hey, sorry it didn't work. These are next steps. Maybe you are a candidate for another round of you're telling me 50, you can't do it. Like, that seems like this is not, I'm not. But I don't think I am their client. I think their client is a person that is extremely rich and just keeps writing checks and writing checks until they have the baby.
Well, but they took your money. So
yeah,
you are
totally
their client. They took your money and they owe you that. I have never heard of having a procedure done and not having follow-up with the doctor. Why aren't they calling you to see if it worked or not?
Never. Like they never called. They said after I did the IUI, they said in 2 weeks, take a pregnancy test and let us know, which I did. And it was negative. And then they've never spoken to me on the phone ever since.
So basically it was let us know, but don't expect a response.
Yeah. Can you believe that? So
all right. Well, we got to find you a new doctor. That is ridiculous.
Yes. And then I want to know what you would do. So, you know, I've always wanted to adopt. Always wanted to adopt. Still think I'm going to. But we've been doing all kinds of adoption classes. And what it essentially comes down to is you have to pick an agency that helps you through the process, right? Your agency works with the county. And so they know when kids are being surrendered or, you know, a child is being taken away. And then they call you, you know, for a placement in your house. All right, let's pause it. Pause this interview to thank David Rubin. David Rubin is a top family lawyer. We heard from so many of you guys over the past couple of months, a lot of you, including our girl Natasha, dealing with family law issues. Okay, so whether you're getting ready to get divorced, going through a divorce, if you want to renegotiate your child support, alimony, your child custody agreement, David Rubin at Rubin Law, MDLaws.com is giving out free, he always does, free consultations. You can make that appointment right there on his website. MDLaws.com. David Rubin has been in business for 30 years and has developed a real specialty in dealing with narcissistic spouses and difficult spouses. So whether you're a woman listening to this with a soon-to-be ex-husband that is very difficult, David has over 30 years of experience. He actually gives you books to read if you think that you're with a narcissist, things that you can do as far as texting practices. David's going to be back on this podcast too. So if you have a question for him, you can hit us in the DMs. The questions to him are completely free at The Sarah Fraser Show and at Ms. Pink Monster. MDLaws.com is the website. Make your free consultation today. Call David Rubin. Tell him that Sarah and Natasha sent you. Look, divorce is difficult enough, but being divorced is not. So you got to get through it, and you need somebody on your side that is just a true fighter. That's your guy, David Rubin, MDLaws.com. Okay, but we've gone to several of these initial meetings, and what they tell you is 60% of the time, the child will be reunited with their biological family. So a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, their own parents, because now they've found over the years, children are best if they can stay with their biological families, which I totally am 100% in agreement. So Schman and I are in disagreement about Schman believes, does not want to take a child in and then a year, because it takes a very long time, a lot of times, for them to be placed back right with their families, like a year, 18 months, right? Schman and I are kind of at a standstill because Schman does not want to bring a baby or a child into our house and we're going to fall in love with them and then they go back to their parents. So what do we do?
I mean, well, it seems like they're two different things. That's basically being foster parents. Like yes. You're applying to be foster parents if you could be giving the baby back versus adoptive parents.
Yes.
Because I want to say, I don't know the exact numbers, and I'm sure our listeners do, but, you know, when a woman gives a baby up for adoption, I think she has, oh gosh, I don't even want to guess, like 60 days or maybe it's a year. I don't know that she can. It's not a year, Sarah. When it's an adoption of a baby, I think she's only got like a month or two that she can change her mind.
Well, we've looked into private adoption as well, which that's anywhere from $30,000 to $44,000 to adopt a baby. Because
I see. So okay, so what I'm thinking of is private adoption,
right?
And what you're talking about is going through the state.
Yes, because I
see. I understand now.
I don't want to say we won't do private adoption, but I guess we feel like there's so many children. And in Los Angeles County alone, there are 18,000 kids whose parental rights have already been severed, which means they're totally ready to be adopted. Now, a lot of these kids are older. They're which I'm not opposed to that, but it's like it's kind of like we have to think about, okay, we have KJ. Is that good? Like, and we don't really have room for a teenager. You know, we don't have the teenager needs their own room, you know? Like, there's some problems with that, basically, based on where we live right now, like, in our mm-hmm. living situation. Whereas...
Well, can you give them ages that you're okay with?
Yes.
Like, up to a toddler?
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to know what to do. I said to Schman, I think we should still foster to adopt because eventually we're going to end up with our perfect child. And I think you have to go into it knowing that, like, you are, you know, this is like the best thing you could do. You're giving this child a safe place and love and support for a year. And then hopefully their biological family can take them. And isn't that like, yes, we'll be sad. Yes, we can join like a grieving adoption group because they have those. But like, we're going to end up with a great child that's perfect for our family. And in the meantime, you're like doing like you're giving the best gift to this kid to help them out. Are you trying to conceive? Have you tried a lot of things? Don't know a reliable supplement to take? Well, I'm introducing you to You Natural. It's spelled EU Natural. They're on Amazon, and they have a conception for her formula and a conception for him, which, by the way, has over 23,000 five-star reviews on Amazon, and now I'm taking it. Very easy to take because, you know, sometimes multivitamins are tough. Well, this one is awesome, has a great vanilla flavor. I take it with food. And right now, when you go to Amazon and you buy any You Natural product or their bundle, put in the code FRASER20, get 20% off. I'm so excited for you guys to be on this journey with me to conceive, and this can give you the extra boost that you need. So order right now. Check out EU You Natural on Amazon and use code FRASER20 to get 20% off their conception bundle or your entire order. That's EU Natural on Amazon, or follow the link on our website for 20% off the conception bundle with the promo code FRASER, FRASER20, FRASER20. Are you trying to lose weight and keep it off for good? If you were like me, I have done every fad diet under the sun, and I started dieting when I was just 12 years old. I gained and lost 150 pounds from the ages of 12 to 28 when I finally got off the yo-yo dieting train. Well, if I had known of Dr. Applin and MyOptimalBody.com, my life would have been a lot easier, and I would have resolved my weight issues without doing drugs like Ozempic. Fine if you're on them, but if they're not working for you or you don't want to try them, MyOptimalBody.com has incredible success rates. Go to their website, check out their reviews, and see people who have had lasting weight loss change. Visit MyOptimalBody.com to request an appointment. Be sure to let them know that the Sarah Fraser Show sent you so you can qualify for a free personalized assessment plus a free 30-day supply of their gut repair product when you sign up for their customized plan. Again, that's MyOptimalBody.com. To request an appointment. Go there now and let me know what you think. I'm on a customer service kick right now. Customer service means so much to me. And Uplift Desk has a 4.9 Google rating on their customer service and thousands of five-star reviews. Oh my God, sign me up. Actually, I already own their stuff, so I'm here. Go to upliftdesk.com and use the promo code TSFS right now to save 5% off your entire order. This company is so customer service based. You can do everything by customizing the color, the type of top material you want for your desk. Schwann has their standing desk, and I have their ergonomic Invoke chair, which I love. My foot pain has gone away. My back pain has gone away from using their products. Go and check them out. If you've never heard of them, you're about to fall in love. Go to upliftdesk.com and use the promo code TSFS for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com to get 5% off your entire order with the promo code TSFS.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
He doesn't. Oof. I don't know that he sees it that way.
Well, I feel like you're talking about two different things. You're talking about, do you want to be foster parents or do you, with the possibility of adoption, or do you want to adopt another child? Like, I feel like you guys are on kind of two separate pages here about what your goal is. Well, and I get what Schman's saying, like, and you have KJ too, so it's not just the two of you. So can you imagine having, you know, a two-year-old that you bring in and they spend a year growing up together and they're calling you mom and dad and KJ thinks it's his brother or sister and then they're gone? That's kind of impactful on KJ too, but don't underestimate how impactful that is on both of you. I get where he's coming from.
Yeah,
unless you're both going into this going, we want to be foster parents, and that's what our family's going to do.
Well, we're united in that we ultimately want to adopt. Oh, we're
sorry. One second, Sarah. I see a teenage girl coming down the stairs.
I just need to grab my markers.
Okay, you don't have to knock next time. You can just grab your stuff.
Oh, okay, really?
Yeah. She's sitting upstairs, just knock, tap, tap, tapping on the door. She's home today taking a mental health day.
Oh, that sounds good right about now.
Doesn't that sound amazing?
So we're at a standstill with our adoption as well. We're united in that our ultimate goal is we both want to adopt.
Which I love. I've always wanted to adopt. I see myself adopting one day.
Really?
Absolutely. I know. Yeah, very much so.
I really want to adopt too. I think.
Do you? You want to know what's funny though? Because when you and I were chatting before this, like you mentioned, maybe thinking about an egg donor. For some reason, I love the idea of adopting, but I don't think I could ever do an egg donor.
Really? You're not alone. A lot of women feel that, but I completely like.
I want us it to be neither of our child, I guess. You know, like not
really
just his kid, but then somebody else's egg that I'm carrying, which doesn't make any sense because you get the pregnancy experience and it's at least a half sibling for KJ. So it doesn't make logical sense. But yeah, I just feel like, I don't think I could do egg donor, but I could 100% do adoption.
Kind of want to skip the IVF of my own eggs and just go to the egg donor because, like, you know, a 25-year-old's eggs are going to work way better than a 41-year-old. So I'm like, let's just get the egg donor on. Like, I'm like totally – I don't know. That doesn't bother me at all like that because I feel like – I don't know. The baby's in your belly. You're like – you're the one that they're meeting. Like, I don't even think – I would not even care. I feel like I actually would probably get an egg donor and then in 5 years after the child was born, I'd even forget that I got an egg donor. Like, I can't even really remember. Dan and I were saying the other night, did we get a lot of sleep when KJ was first born? Like, what was that? We don't even remember anything about it. So I'm like, I don't even think we'll remember in 5 years. We'll be like, did we get an egg donor?
You completely forget.
Was
it? That's kind of something you're... Well, so how does that work if you get an egg donor... Because obviously if you adopt, at some point you have the conversation with the child that they're adopted. Do you have the same conversation with the child if it's an egg donor that technically you have a different biological mother out there? I don't even know how to word it.
I don't know. That's a great question. Friends of ours, they're 45. Actually 46 now. They did an egg donor. They just had twin boys. They're totally cool with it. I don't know what they're gonna say. I guess I would. Yeah, I feel like, you know, you just have to be fully, you know this, I think, with your kids. My parents never lied to us about anything ever. Not even lied, but never withheld anything. They probably told us too much, actually, but I think it's great if you do that, because then there's never any like, well, why didn't you tell me this at this time? I would just be like, oh, you know, whatever, my eggs were old and shrivelly. And we got these other eggs and you're ours. And don't you dare think about going to look up your goddamn egg donor. Okay. I'm your mother.
I love it.
That's what I'd say.
You know, I actually called my mom last week to ask her if I had a different dad out there or if I was adopted or something.
Why?
Because, okay, this is so bizarre. So remember when I told you after Peter died, I went through his house and he had all these files. I guess I missed a file box and... the man had kept my original birth certificate, and my father-in-law found it recently and when he was going through all of Peter's stuff. So he mailed it to me, and I've had a copy of my birth certificate, but not like the original one from 1980. And I was looking at it, and she left the space of father's name blank on my birth certificate. And then I was starting to think, and a couple years ago, my ex gave me one of those at-home DNA kits as like a Christmas present. And I took it and the results were like none of what I think I am. Like it said I was Egyptian. I was from different parts of Africa. There was some Hispanic. So I'm pretty sure my mom's my mom. But my dad is full-blooded Italian and there was nothing from Italy on there. So I kind of started thinking and combined the two. And I called her. I was like, Mom, I just, you know, I'm a grown woman. I want you to tell me, is my dad not my dad? And she, of course, was just like, no, that's ridiculous. You know, poo-pooed the whole thing. But
wait, but
I don't know. Maybe I don't know why I'm even bringing this up. But maybe I'm one of those kids that the parents just never told them.
But so, wait, when you did like a 23andMe test, does it trace right down to it doesn't really trace like your father, right? It doesn't trace your parents.
No, it just gives you your ancestry of where you're from. And there was no Italy on mine. And my dad's Italian.
Okay, well, then this isn't adding up, right? I mean,
right, exactly. So then when I got the birth, and I kind of just blew it off as, okay. And it was like a legit company, like an ancestry or one of those, like the big ones. And I kind of just blew it off at the time of, I guess they get these wrong. I don't know. Maybe they mixed mine up with someone else. But then when I saw the birth certificate with the blank name, I was like, maybe I've been lied to my whole life.
So because, wait, and just we can skip this part if you don't want to talk about it. But your
I don't care.
Biological dad, you don't speak to, right? You haven't spoken to?
No, I don't speak to. And I didn't meet him until I was three. Like, I didn't know him. He never met me until I was 3 years old. My mom says she didn't put his name on there because she didn't want him involved. She wanted to keep me to herself. You know, it was, they had a very short fling and she got pregnant and then he moved away. So it wasn't like there was this relationship or anything. So she said that's why she left it blank. And then when I was about three, she felt some guilt and was like, maybe I should probably let him know he has a kid. And that's when I met him.
Well, I guess there's always, you know, she thought he was Italian, but maybe, like you said, he's not Italian at all and he's Egyptian.
Oh, no, he is so Italian. Like, I grew up with him and his family and everything, and they're like 100% Italian, like mafia family type Italian.
Okay, wait, so it's still not adding up. Then how?
It doesn't add up. I know. I went totally, total okay. Curveball here from what we were talking about. I apologize for that. But I guess my point in this was, I don't know. Maybe you should tell them because they figure it out eventually.
I think 100%, right. I would completely tell them everything. I would tell them egg donor. Yeah, because at some point they're probably going to be curious or whatever. Because even if I pick out an egg donor that looks somewhat like me, you know, KJ, they're going to look very different than KJ, which would, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah. So.
I feel like KJ looks a lot like Schman anyway. Although he looks like a mix
twin.
Of you, but he does look like Schman.
Totally.
Oh, and
twin.
That when you posted like Schman's baby picture, it looked just like him.
They have the same hair, the same mouth, the same nose, mm-hmm. the same lips, the same eyes. It's like uncanny. Yes. So
so what are you gonna do now? What's your next steps?
Okay, next steps are depression. Next steps are, you know what the next steps are? So this comes down to what voice should you listen to? I also, and I'm trying to think of who recommended this book. It starts with the egg. I read that book and it was great. Gave me some good vitamin suggestions. Also, you know, the research that's been done, one of the biggest things about that's impacting women's fertility and men's is all the plastic and fragrances we use. Mm. Has chemicals in it, BPA chemicals. And then fragrances have very toxic they disrupt hormone rejuvenation and all this stuff. And people that spray themselves and everything, detergents that you use in your laundry, that you use on your dishes. Mm-hmm. So the book is like, go fragrance free. I find when there's so much information coming at me and I don't know what to do, I just need to stop and just be quiet for a while. So I'm actually not going to do anything. I'm going to interview with a couple more IVF doctors, but I really never... You know, Schman and I only tried for like probably 2 months, 3 months, and then I went right to the OBGYN and started right in on the IVF doc. I am over 40.
Which is so stressful, you know? That's also stressful on your body to go straight into that.
But I agree. So I don't know which voice to listen to because my OBGYN from Virginia, I called her and she said, there is no research that all these supplements actually work. Unless you're insanely deficient, and all my blood work, I'm not. So she's like, yes, you should be taking a prenatal. Everybody needs vitamin D. You can absolutely take that. But like, there's all kinds of other things, CoQ10, fish oil supplements, liver supplements, all these things. There's like no research, according to my OBGYN, that these actually make a big impact, right? So I'm not doing anything. I'm going to interview IVF doctors. I'm going to just try and try naturally for a while, and I'm going to a acupuncturist that specializes in fertility, and that's it. Because I don't know what
fantastic.
To do.
I think that's fantastic. I do. I feel like sometimes when you get so overwhelmed with all these different directions you could go, it almost compounds and makes the situation worse because it's just too many people's advice, too much information. The whole thing just gets muddied. And I think it's wise to just take a step back, just the two of you. Just shut it all down for a little bit. The things you said you're going to do, acupuncturist, call a couple other doctors, fantastic, smart. But just give it a break for a couple months. And I find like when you step away, the right answer will show itself to you.
Totally agree.
You know,
couldn't
you'll have
more.
That thought of egg donor adoption or whatever that just... will just show itself.
Well, we've gotten some great information, too, about fostering to adopt. Like, the other thing we did this last week was we met with a woman who adopted two children through Los Angeles County, foster to adopt. And she went through exactly the same experience. The first two children that she fostered went back to their biological families in some regards. So she gave us some really great tips, which she said when she first started, and anytime they would call, which they started calling fairly often, she would say yes, like immediately. And she wouldn't really ask any questions aside from, you know, like, was the child born under trauma, or like, you know, are they withdrawing from drugs? Because obviously that happens a lot and they have a lot of needs, you know. But then she said to us, you know, one of the things you need to start asking is, well, are the biological parents at the hospital? Are they involved? You know, because lots of times they're addicted to drugs, right? But they're there. They know who the parents are. So the child is removed for a while, and then they're given a series of steps to try to get the child back. Does the biological mother have other kids? Are they, you know, does she have custody of them or not? Or have they been adopted? You know, is an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent there at the hospital? If basically what she was saying to us is you need to ask questions, because if there is a biological family member involved, most likely that child is going to a biological family member. If this person has lost custody of multiple children before that are in foster care being adopted, this person is probably not going to keep this child, you know, like, so, or if the child's completely abandoned, there's no father, you know, like, that's it, the mother's left the hospital, then you probably, so I thought that was really helpful to think about too, you know. And again, some people want to just foster, they never want to adopt. They just love like having a baby in the house, they want to foster them, but they do not want to adopt another kid.
I feel like if you do go down that road, you and Shaman both have to go into it with the mindset of, we're going to be in this child's life for however, you know, God allows. And if it becomes permanent, great, but I'm going into it with the mindset of this is temporary and I'm going to help at this point in this child's life when they need somebody.
That's what I
said. But you can't go into it with the mindset. But if he's not capable of doing that, Sarah, you have to listen to that.
That is true. No, I agree with that 100%.
And it's definitely not something I feel like you can push your significant other into. They have to be 100% on board on their own.
I agree. So
you're gonna fuck up your marriage. So
thank you for that. Yes, I agree.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Couldn't agree more. So those are my life updates on.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Did you ever start checking your cervical fluid like I told you to?
Yeah, I'm not having much, which is probably because like my OBGYN told me at after 3 months of trying, I really wasn't. Like, I'm ovulating because I'm having a period, but my follicles are not growing big enough, I think, to release an egg. So that's why I'm not having a lot of cervical fluid. I liked that. I liked that book too, but I don't have any, you know, I need some egg whites to track here, and there aren't many.
Because basically, I hear somebody call it the other day. Oh, never mind. It was a different context, but yeah, never mind. That's somebody called it like, when there isn't a lot of fluids down there, like you need to grease the peach is what she called it. And I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. Like I said, even it's weird because I just had my period and it's like been the most back to normal period I've had in a year. So I'm like, maybe there's some truth to just like relaxing and stopping doing all this shit, because it's like, wow, wait a minute, this is like the best period that I've had in a while. And I am taking supplements, even though my OBGYN says they don't work, but I'm like, oh, fuck it. As long as they're not doing that much harm, why does it hurt? Like, I'll try this.
Whatever. No, I think that's smart. I think give it some time.
All right. I feel like we should just like, this was so good. And next week, I feel like we have to talk about, I'm having spousal guilt. I didn't get to that, but we'll leave it with a good tease. I'll tell you.
Yes, that's right. I do want to hear about that.
I'll tell you why. And then also, you guys have some exciting news on the horizon with Sam, right? I don't know if you want to share that.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's week. Just this, well, I don't know. It'll either be really good news or really disappointing. But this Friday, we find out if she got into the high school that she wanted, which if she didn't get in, she's upstairs. But if she didn't get in, she's going to be heartbroken. Like, my stomach is
the pins and needles,
like doing somersaults. Yeah. It's like, she'll be so excited, but man, it's like, if she doesn't, oh God.
Well, it all happens for a reason.
I know she did. I'm manifesting it into our future that I know this will happen for her.
Okay, well, now that's a tease for next week for all of our listeners. All right, where can people find you and follow you?
Ms. Pink Monster, MS Pink Monster, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, all of that good stuff.
All right, love you, doll. At the Sarah Fraser Show. I'll see you next week.
I'll see you later, my friend.